off and running on this Getaway Friday, July the 16th, 2021, 15 minutes past the hour. Do want to remind everybody again that the free community event at Steak and Shake will be happening this Sunday, July 18th, 6 to 8 p.m. There'll be live music, free milkshakes, bounce houses, giant Jenga, giant Connect 4, and more. Bring items from this list of school supplies to help local schools and receive a coupon for a free milkshake on your next visit. Crayons, markers, glue sticks, Ziploc bags, paper towels, baby wipes, pencils, dry erase markers, Play-Doh, pencil grips, eraser caps, and Clorox wipes. And of course, I assume those would all be new items that they need over at Steak and Shake, July 18th, this Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. Don't miss that. Now, we're going to continue on this hour with our giveaway. We still have a pair of tickets to Zumbeezy Bay to give away this hour. And we're going to go back to slogans. Hour number one, our winner was Ralph this morning. And hour number two was Charlene. Go ahead, caller. I guess our caller's gone. If that was you, give us a buzz back, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you want to give us a call, please do so. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker will be coming up next hour. And then I'll be back at noon, and we may continue the giveaways, but we do have a pair of tickets to the Wilds for Ralph and zoo tickets for Charlene. All right, let's get in here with the next hour. Okay, what is the slogan or jingle for cotton? We're going to start this hour with cotton. What is the slogan and or jingle for cotton? 740-383-9944. Cotton is what we're looking for. Does anybody know the slogan and or jingle for cotton? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz here and you can get in on this competition. Cotton is the first one up this particular hour. Slogan and or jingle for cotton. 740-383-9944. Does anybody know it? Let's see here. Go ahead, caller.
Cotton is the fabric of our lives.
The fabric of our lives. Absolutely right. What's your name?
David.
David. Hey, is this David who drives the bus?
Yep, you're the long-lost bus driver.
Yeah, are you going to go over and pick up my candy from Mary Ellen?
I'm trying to talk Sarah into it. I'm kind of busy.
Yeah, get Sarah into it. So where have you been? Have you been listening?
Sometimes my radio on the bus doesn't work the best. I get a lot of static.
Well, they got to repair that down at City Hall.
Oh, I know.
I know, we got to put that in.
Stop today and ask him.
Well, we got you in, David. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, David's in with cotton. Okay, next one here. What do we got? We have got Mr. Clean. How about this? Mr. Clean. Does anybody know the slogan or jingle for Mr. Clean? 19 minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Mr. Clean. How about that? 740-383-9944. David is already in this hour. The fabric of our lives. He got cotton. The touch, the feel of cotton. The fabric of our lives. But now we're on to Mr. Clean. Who knows the slogan or jingle for Mr. Clean? 740-383-9944. Mr. Clean is where we are right now. You know, Mr. Clean has become an iconic symbol. We'll say that. Now, I don't know if the jingle is all that iconic, but certainly everybody knows Mr. Clean when they see him. Mr. Clean, what an iconic thing that is. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, there's no clean like Mr. Clean?
No, that's not it. Now, again, I think these are based on the most popular slogans as polled by people, because I'm sure there's been more than one Mr. Clean slogan over the years, but there are numbers over here at the side of people who have voted these the most popular slogans. So it'd be the most popular slogan ever for the Mr. Clean company. Go ahead, caller.
If something works worth doing, it's worth doing right.
Not the one we're looking for, but a good guess. Not the one. I guess that was not voted as the most famous one of all time. Mr. Clean. What is the most popular Mr. Clean slogan of all time? 740-383-9944. Slogan or jingle, however you would like to refer to it. 740-383-9944. David already in this hour with the cotton slogan and or jingle. Zimbezi Bay tickets hang in the balance. 21 minutes past the hour here. Mr. Clean. What is the slogan and or jingle for Mr. Clean? Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. We're looking for Mr. Clean. You know, I should have looked at what all these numbers mean over to the side. But it's based on popularity. And I guess it's a recognizability factor. And this one has a recognizability factor that's very, very high. Mr. Clean. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I haven't got the jingle, but do you know who Mr. Clean was based on?
No, who?
The image of Mr. Clean?
No, I don't.
Dwight Eisenhower.
Really?
Yep.
Now, why is that?
Well, I guess at the time during the when they came out with Mr. Clean, he was a very popular person. You know, I mean, he was the president and he was the general Eisenhower, and that's where they got the bald-headed man to take for their commercials.
Well, that's interesting. I'd never heard that before.
There's something. I think Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean was the jingle. I think.
Well, you know, I think that was one at some point, but this is rated as the most recognizable.
Yeah, I'm not calling in on that anyway. I don't get into that. So, okay.
I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, that's interesting. Mr. Clean was based on Dwight Eisenhower, President Eisenhower, General Eisenhower. Well, I certainly appreciate that information. I like little information like that. Side trivia is good here. Does anybody know the most popular jingle for Mr. Clean? All right, here we go. Mr. Clean. Go ahead, caller.
Mr. Clean, you cleans your whole house and everything in it.
That's it. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. Gotcha, Trish. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Trish gets in. Mr. Clean will clean your whole house and everything that's in it. That was voted as the most popular one of all time. All right, we move on to the next category. Well, let's see what this call is. Go ahead, caller.
There's no clean like Mr. Clean.
It was a Mr. Clean, get your whole house cleaner and everything that's in it. All right, on to the next one. Fanta. Now, I think that's a soda, but to be honest with you, I've never had a drink of that in my life. Fanta. F-A-N-T-A. Does anybody know the slogan and or jingle for Fanta? F-A-N-T-A. Well, this should be simple if you've ever had it, because I have never had it, and I would have no idea. Trish and David in the competition this hour. What is the slogan or jingle for Fanta? F-A-N-T-A. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Fanta. Which, again, I think is that a soda? I don't even know what kind of soda that is. I think I've seen it in the grocery store, though. Fanta. The slogan or jingle for Fanta. F-A-N-T-A. Does anybody know? All right, let's see here if this is the Fanta answer. Go ahead, caller.
Be more than one flavor?
No, that's not it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Not more than one flavor. What is the slogan and or jingle for Fanta? 740-383-9944. A soda that I have never had. Fanta. Okay, maybe this is the correct answer here. Go ahead, caller.
It's an orange thing.
Not an orange thing. Nope, that's not the one we're looking for. Fanta. The Fanta slogan. Now that I think about it, I think I have an orange drink, but I don't think I've ever had any. 740-383-9944. Fanta. Does anybody know the most popular slogan for the Fanta soda? F-A-N-T-A. I wonder what Fanta even means. Not that all the other soda names exactly mean anything, but that's a different one for a soda. F-A-N-T-A. Fanta. What is it? All right here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, it's Drink Fanta de Bambucha.
Wait, what is that?
It says Drink Fanta de Bambucha.
Stay Bambucha?
I have no idea what that means. But
what's Bambucha? Holy
no
man.
No clue. You know, that's a popular slogan.
Have you ever had a Fanta?
I have before, yeah, I think. I was actually looked up Fanta to look at the slogan, and the trivia history of it is it was invented in Nazi Germany because they could not get ingredients for Coca-Cola.
So this is a drink for the Nazis?
Yes, it is. I guess so.
Oh, my goodness. And when you drunk the Fanta, did you stay Bambucha?
I sure did.
Holy mackerel. Who knew it was a Nazi drink?
Not me until like 30 seconds ago.
Well, we'll just have to go get this out of the stores right now. We can't have that.
Right.
That's not the slogan, but you gave us a lot of interesting information to chew on.
Yeah. All right, well, hope somebody gets it.
I hope so. Thank you. How about that? Fanta was invented in Nazi Germany. Had anybody else ever heard that? Holy mackerel. Stay Bambucha. Whatever that means. We're looking for the slogan and or jingle for Fanta Soda. F-A-N-T-A. The things you learn. 740-383-9944, David and Trish in the competition so far, but we need the most popular slogan for the Fanta soda. Does anybody know what it is? 740-383-9944, Fanta soda, that's what we're looking for here. Then we'll move on to another soda, which I think people will... Well, everybody knows this next soda. No doubt about that. But we've got to get through the Fanta so far. I wonder what Fanta means. F-A-N-T-A. Now, knowing that that was apparently, allegedly, created in Nazi Germany, that's an interesting thing to learn. Fanta soda. What is the slogan? Or jingle that was most popular for Fanta soda. Does anybody know? We're hoping somebody knows here this morning. 740-383-9944 Fanta. Any answers here? Fanta soda. 740-383-9944. That's all we need. The jingle or slogan for Fanta soda. I think everybody was so shocked that it was a drink that was created in Nazi Germany. Everybody has just passed out who was listening to this program. That information came across the wires here this morning, and it just put people to bed. They can't imagine. They've been drinking this Fanta soda all these years, and here it might have been Hitler's favorite soda. We just don't know. Now, see, that would not be a good marketing tool right there. See, I bet the whole Fanta company just wants to hush that all up. Slip that right under the rug. They don't want people to know that. Does anybody know the Fanta slogan? Give us the Fanta slogan, and you can get in on the competition here. We've got Trish and David in. We need to get some more names in here. This hour, tickets to Zumbeezy Bay hang in the balance. The slogan for Fanta Soda. 740-383-9944. Apparently, the slogans are a little more difficult today. There are some other ones down here that I don't think are all that difficult. But apparently Fanta Soda is one of them. Does anybody know the slogan or the jingle that goes along with Fanta Soda? F-A-N-T-A. Give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. Inquiring minds want to know what's the slogan for Fanta Soda. Everybody has left us at this point. 31 and a half minutes past the hour here. Going to do the big drawing in about 29 minutes. If somebody can tell us the slogan for Fanta Soda, they'll get in here on this competition. We hope that they do. We want to see people in. Fanta, and there's really no, I don't think there's any clue I could even give. Go ahead, caller.
Fanta, Fanta, don't you wanna? Or don't you wanna Fanta?
That's it. Don't you wanta Fanta? You have got it. Trish, were you shocked to hear about the whole Nazi thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that's terrible.
I just wonder how safe it is to drink.
Well, I know. Have you ever had a Fanta?
No, I haven't.
Are you going to have one now?
No, it probably does something to your mind.
Well, you never know. I'll tell you, day to day, it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Huh. Of course, Coke, my favorite drink, started out in the beginning with Coke in it.
I know. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
What were these?
It is very addictive.
I know. Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Yes, it was I Want a Fanta. W-A-N-T-A Fanta. Trish is in again. All right here. Next one. Dr. Pepper. Now there's one we're a little more familiar with. Dr. Pepper. Does anybody know the most popular slogan for Dr. Pepper Soda? You can get in with David and Trish here for the Zumbeezy Bay tickets, which will be drawn in about 27 minutes here on WWGH Radio. Dr. Pepper, does anybody know the slogan or jingle? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Dr. Pepper. Give me a buzz. Would love to hear. Oh, Mary Ellen, how are you? Go ahead, caller.
The most misunderstood soft drink.
Not the most misunderstood, but thanks for calling.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mary Ellen. Okay. Do you have a minute to sit down?
I do.
Yeah, sit down for a minute. So these are the gumdrop bars. Well, I'm sorry I did not make it out yet. I totally forgot last night.
Did you?
I didn't. I thought, oh, man, I can't believe I forgot this. Well, how are things?
Okay, yeah.
So what goes into the gumdrop bars?
Well, gumdrops.
Gumdrops.
And nuts and four eggs and 2 cups of flour and 2 cups of brown sugar and that's it.
Hmm. Now, how often do you make these?
Not very often. I haven't made anything, Scott, for ages.
Is that right?
Yes. So this is a totally new adventure for me.
Well, did you just back away from making things, or?
Yeah, I quit making things, and then when I read the recipes the other day on the air, I got kind of interested in making something again, and so that's what happened.
You know, cooking is really kind of an art form, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah. By all means, some people are really good at it, and so it's a wonderful art form.
It really is. And, yeah. And now, where did this recipe come from?
Well, my mother saw it in a magazine a long time ago, and so that's how it got into the family. Yeah.
Now, I had talked to your daughter, Linda, and she had said that this was a very popular thing around your house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yes, we made them quite often. Yeah.
Well, what's going on with you, Marianne? Are we any progress on the museum here?
Yes. Well, we're moving everything next Wednesday, and then it's going to be. And I'm getting some new things. I'm getting a picture of the spider press that. You know, to go through government to get anything, it's a long process. And they had to get okayed from here and there and everywhere to get this picture of the spider press, which they used back in the 1920s. But, yeah, so I'm going to get the picture in the mail in a day or two. And... yeah, I'm working on a lot of different things. I've gotten the Eisenhower and the Morgan dollar coin that I didn't have before. See, we produced $5 coins in the last century. The Morgan, the Peace, the Eisenhower, and the Susan B. Anthony, and then Sacagawea, and none of them were popular. Because people don't like dollar coins. Mm. They're too heavy in their pockets. Yeah. Mm. So anyway, I'm working on a lot of different things. Actually, when I was talking to a man from Treasury about my museum, he said, "Do you have a picture of Treasury?" I said, "No, you know I don't." So he got me one. It's a beautiful picture. It shows where my offices were. And that's going to be in the museum. And I thought, you know, I never thought of that. I didn't have a picture of Treasury. I was wanting a picture of my office, but somehow I never got that. Having been in the office 7 years, you'd have thought I'd have had a picture with you. That's how it goes.
That is how it goes. Now, when we were talking last time, and somebody asked me this off the air, how many pictures do you think you have from your years in Washington?
Oh, my. I had a whole table full of all my travels. I bet I had 20 notebooks full.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, probably more than that. It was completely full, and then... And I still have some at home. They're not all there, you know.
Now, what exactly is going over to the Historical Society, and what will you keep?
Well, pretty much everything is going over. There's a couple of commemorative coins that I'm going to keep. But otherwise, I think everything will be there.
Now, the day you were sworn in, I watched that video the other day. It came up on YouTube. Did you keep anything from that day? I know you gave the Vice President and Lloyd Benson sweatshirts.
Yes, right.
You keep anything from that day?
Just pictures.
Just pictures?
Yeah. I didn't... it was interesting. The National Association of State Treasurers took the pictures and gave everybody, well, all the state treasurers were there. So they gave all, I had a picture taken with each one, and they all got a picture of it. It was quite a day.
I know you have a lot of video and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. Have you been able to get that developed?
Well, no. I'm working on it. There was an interview on television about the infrastructure bill, that where the money that we had used for infrastructure was gathered from scholarship funds for Ohio scholarships. And that interview was really good, if I do say so myself. And I've been trying to find it. I ran across it once. When Norman was at Marion Point, they had a TV that also played CDs, or played, CDs, or the tape.
Right.
Yeah. And now I can't find it.
Now, over the years, how many VHS tapes and things like that would you say you have?
Well, you know, Norman had this camera that took those, and he was always taking pictures. He was constantly taking pictures, and we've got pictures of everything, I swear. And we really need, you know, I need to go through them, and I have nothing to play them on.
The VCRs, yeah. I know. Yeah. Who would have ever thought that VCRs would have been pretty well replaced by DVDs?
Yeah, right. I mean, and then DVDs are almost gone.
They are now.
And I'll tell you something else funny. I had gotten this new computer about probably a year and a half ago, and where you play your CDs or DVDs, what is it, DVDs on?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought I didn't have it on this computer, and then the other day I
you found it.
I found it.
You can play it on there.
I said, well, I had it all along, and I didn't know it. Yeah.
Now, you know what? Somebody asked me this, too, and I said, at one point, you were on Facebook. And you're still there, but you don't check that anymore.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, somebody said, I saw her on Facebook, and I sent her a friend request, and I said, well, I don't think she does that anymore.
Well, I quit doing it when the 2016 election was getting so terrible. I quit watching Facebook.
It could wear you down after a while.
Yeah, I thought, I don't need this. And
you know, it has become so rough with what's going on.
Yeah.
What do you make of this whole thing going on right now, the child tax credit that's coming about?
I don't know anything about that.
With Biden, where they're going to give the tax credit early for...
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm not really up on that at all.
It's an interesting time. Do you like this better, where the news is not dominated by the president every day, like it was during the Trump years?
Yes, yeah. I think it's more effective when it's not every day. Yeah.
It just seemed like everything that went on, we knew about constantly during that era.
Yeah, yeah. And if you didn't know it, you soon found out about it. Yeah.
When it comes to things like the internet, how do you think you would have handled that when you were running for office?
Oh, I don't know. The internet definitely has a place in the world. It's good to be able to contact people that way. it would have made a big difference, I think, in your type of campaigning. I mean, everybody goes to Facebook now. That's where they go, and I'm trying to think back on how that would have been. It would have been totally different. Yeah.
It seems to me like one of the problems is people believe everything.
Yeah, I know, and that's not the thing to do.
No, and I think we have found that out during this vaccination era,
uh-huh,
that people will believe anything.
Yeah, they do. And if they don't believe it, they say they do. That's what's bad.
I don't know how this is going to get turned around.
Mm,
it's a mess.
It is. It's a terrible mess. Yeah.
Now, Mary Ellen, we've talked in the past that you also used to paint.
Oh, yeah.
Now, have you ever thought about getting back into that?
Yeah. Yes, I one of the first things I did was a cat, and the cat was very popular, and my granddaughter wants a cat, and I thought, well, I'll try to do another cat for her, and we'll see what happens.
Now, where did you learn to paint?
I took lessons from Jean Wells from Delaware. She came to the women's club home once a week, and we went up on the third floor, and we painted up there. We had a class, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, she ended up having people come in and pose, and toward the end, we were doing people. In the beginning, we did, we didn't do anything except charcoal in the very beginning for about 6 weeks, and then we got into still life, and it was fascinating. She was a wonderful teacher. I don't think she's still alive. Her husband taught at Ohio Wesleyan, but a lot of people took lessons from her here in Marion, and it was something that I really enjoyed.
What's the trick to painting?
Well, just letting yourself go. When you paint, you don't want to feel restricted. You want to fill up the whole whatever you're painting on, and that's not always easy to do. But I think the feeling of freedom when you paint, I think, is so necessary. Yeah.
Somebody said the other day, and I thought this was interesting, that some of the great leaders, Churchill, Eisenhower, all were painters.
Were they?
They were, and Churchill said the reason that he did it was because when horrible things were going on, or you just needed to get your mind off something, when you're painting, you can't think about anything else. It diverts your mind.
Yes, well, no, you really don't. You're thinking constantly about your colors and so forth. I used to paint in my basement. I had good light down there, and, you could make a mess and it didn't matter. And then I taught children for a while. I had classes on Saturday morning, and they were a fun group, and I put in new lighting down there for it, and I talked to one of them the other day. She said she's teaching painting now.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and this is something, we've talked about this in the past, but this is one of my goals in life, is to learn how to play the piano.
Yes.
Because I have this piano.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah. Do you know how to read music?
No.
Oh, you don't.
No, I'm really far behind.
You have to start from scratch then. Yeah.
So how, but you play piano.
Yes.
Now, how did it start with you?
Well, my mother taught me at first, and then I took from Miss Worley, who was from, she was brought over from Germany for the Smith Clinic. Frederick Smith brought her over. And she was a tough teacher, and I've Hap Dollar took from her, and I've run into a lot of people that I didn't realize took from her. Marge Leffler, that plays the organ at our church, took from her, which surprised me. And that's I was very serious about it. I practiced at least 2 hours every day. Yeah.
Now, what kind of things did you play? You can read music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see a lot of people playing piano at Christmas. Can you do Christmas songs? And
not anymore. I don't. I gave my piano to my daughter, and I just don't play at all anymore. Yeah.
Is it something you have to keep in practice with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to keep your fingers loosened up. And that was very important back when I was young. So think what it would be now, Yeah.
How long has it been since you've played the piano?
Probably, I don't know. It's been a long time. I would say probably 10 years.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have the piano, so I'm not. If I had it, I might play it once in a while. But I wanted my daughter to have it, and I made sure all my daughters took piano lessons. I think it's really important to be able to have music in your life.
Did you have any other hobbies? You crochet.
Yeah, I crochet, but I'm not real good at it. I knit. I knit a lot. I'm much better at knitting than I am crocheting.
Now, what is the difference between knitting and crocheting?
Well, it's your stitches. Yeah, you use the same materials, but the stitch is different. Yeah.
Are you surprised? A lot of people have no hobbies. They just sit on their telephones all day long. That's it. That's the hobby.
Well, you know, if that's what makes them happy, well.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always just thought that it's good for people to have some kind of hobby because I'm not sure what people are going to do. I think we're going to take this call because I think this person might have something to say to you, Mary Ellen. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Yes.
Oh, good morning.
I wanted to remind the listeners that Mary Ellen will be our featured speaker at this year's Dinner with the Presidents.
Oh, yes. Now, when's that coming up, Fred?
That's the first Saturday in November.
First Saturday in
November? I don't have my calendar in front of me, so I can't tell you the exact date, but it's always the first Saturday. And they can buy tickets anytime now. And I think Mary Ellen's table is already sold out, but there are plenty of other tables available and general seating available.
Well, now, how do I get a seat at that table, Fred? Can I just pull a chair up?
No.
What do I have to do here, Fred? Let's get in early with this.
I could find you a seat someplace in there, though.
Find you. Well, you know, Fred, it's interesting because you do favorite foods of the presidents, right?
Right, right. Absolutely.
Now, have you ever cooked any of Mary Ellen's food here?
No, but that's a great idea. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, Mary Ellen, what would you want on the menu that night? Your favorite food.
Well, I like ham loaf really well.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
That's a good idea. Well, we haven't made the menu yet. I'm going to make that suggestion.
Okay. All right.
Does that sound all right?
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
You can put these gumdrop bars on there, too. These look good.
I'm kind of hoping maybe that I can get one of those saved so I can try one.
Well, we'll put one aside for you, Fred. We'll set one aside.
I love gumdrops.
Oh, do you? Yeah.
We are really excited about having Mary Ellen's museum transferred over to the Historical Society at Heritage Hall. That's something that I've been anxious to have happen, and I'm so happy that I talked to Brandy a couple weeks ago, and she told me that you guys were going to be moving things over next week, so I'm really excited about that. And I don't think there's any other person any more important to Marion, Ohio than Mary Ellen has been. And I always tell her she's my favorite politician, and I don't much care for politicians, but I certainly love her. So.
And Fred, will there be a big opening night when this exhibit opens up that we'll all be able to come to?
Well, I haven't talked to Brandy, but I'm sure that will probably be part of it. Yes, absolutely.
Well, that'd be fun.
We're actually having a big capital campaign kickoff in October. I mentioned it yesterday on Glenn's show, and so that's something that people will need to be looking at too, because obviously they'll be able to see it then. But I don't know what Brandy has planned as far as a big opening, but I'm sure she does, because it's a very important exhibit and we're all anxious to see it. And I know there are a lot of people in the community that haven't had the opportunity to see it, and they're in for a great treat. So.
Now, Fred, will this be a part, do you know at this point, if you pay regular admission, will it be part of the museum that you can see?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. You always get the Popcorn Museum along with that. So now we've got an extra draw. I used to tell people that you not only got one museum, you got two. Now I can tell people that not only do you get one and two, but you get three. And so they're all important. So, yeah, we're really excited about it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Fred.
Hey, take care, Mary Ellen.
Okay.
Fred Malone with the Marion County Historical Society. This is going to be a lot of fun when this opens up.
Yes, it will be.
That'll be exciting.
Yes, very much.
Well, I just think about this the history of this, because I've been to the museum at Primrose. Are the Christmas ornaments going over there?
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very nice.
And the pot bellies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How nice.
Yeah.
I how's the documentary coming?
The
interview that the people did?
Oh, they finished up. They're working on it yet. I think it's going to be good. Yeah, they really, I think, are doing a good job.
Now, as far as a book, is any progress being...
I have a book.
You have a book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll have to show it to you.
I did not know this.
Yeah, it's hot off the press, yeah, but it's
great.
Not available. It's just for the family.
Oh, it's a family book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great.
And we're still working on it a little bit, but I have one of the books. Yeah.
Is it a history?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Are there pictures and things in it?
Yeah.
How nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's well done. Yeah.
Now, did you collaborate with somebody on that?
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine that had been in an organization with me, it was called iSafe, and it was to prevent children from being drawn in on the computer by hackers and so forth. It was, I don't know that it's still in existence, but that's how I met her, and she was in California at the time. Now she lives in Oklahoma City, and she's coming to visit. She's going to come see me in September. And but anyway, the book is finished, except there was some things we were adding to the next edition, so, yeah.
Now, did you keep many newspaper articles?
Yes, I've got millions of newspaper. You can't imagine what I've got, Scott. I mean, I go through it, and I'm always trying to find something. You know how it is.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time just trying to find something. I'm still looking. I was on the Johnson & Johnson board, and I can't find that certificate.
Well, I was surprised when I walked into Harding and I saw the big picture of you in the room just inside the door, and I thought, well, I wonder where you were keeping that all those years.
I gave it to him when I left Washington.
Is that when that happened?
Yeah. Yeah, I distributed my pictures at that time because I had a whole bunch, and they still have some at Treasury.
Are the treasurers of the United States, their pictures hanging up in Treasury?
No.
No.
No, they don't. They don't do that there. And when I was state treasurer, we did it, but then they've quit doing it now, so they're no longer, I don't think they ever brought them back up. That's not being done.
Were you ever a collector of anything?
Well, I guess I was. I collected butterflies.
Kind of like jewelry or real butterflies?
Real butterflies.
Real butterflies.
Yeah, my dad had him make me a butterfly net, and I spent a lot of time collecting butterflies, and I had them for a long time, and then they got wormy, and I had to throw them out. They were framed, but they got messed up in the frame, and I thought, well, I can't have these anymore. But moths and butterflies, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah,
neat.
Yeah.
Now, Mary Ellen, when you make these gumdrop bars, how many do you have to make? Do you have to make a certain amount?
Well, you make... Yeah, you do. You may. I've got this pan that's this size. I don't know the measurements of it, but it's the one I bake them in. Yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough for this, Mary Ellen, because I really have wanted to try these, and I was so impressed with the dip that you made.
Were you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody told, I must not have been outside when you walked in, that was goose.
Yeah, goose liver.
I did not know that.
Well, yeah, it's Brunswagger is goose liver. Yeah.
Goose liver.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I enjoyed
right.
it. But I did feel bad that you had to sweep the garage.
Oh.
I felt bad about that.
It isn't the first time I've had to sweep a garage.
Well, I was inside, and I came out, and they said, well, Mary Ellen swept the garage. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. Mary Ellen, it's so good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
Okay.
I'll be back in about 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWDH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. The only local Marion news coverage from the Republican National Convention, with conservative icon Phyllis Schlafly.
This is Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio at the Quicken Loans Arena, and we are joined by a conservative icon, Mrs. Phyllis Schlafly. Phyllis, how many conventions have you been to?
Well, I came to my first one in 1952, so you can count them up.
Do you think that it's good that Bob Dole is the only Republican past candidate for president who's shown at this event? Is that respectable on his behalf?
Well, that's the attempt of the anti-Trump people to downgrade him in some way. And I think they're going to be shown up as not loyal and sour grapes, and they're not going to benefit by that behavior.
Phyllis, what is your favorite part of the convention? What do you like to do the best while you're here?
Well, my specialty has been the platform committee, and I've worked very hard on that, as you can see in my new book called How We Made the Republican Party Pro-Life. And I follow that very closely. And while I was not on the platform committee this time, my people were, and they were well-trained. And we have, I think, the best platform ever.
What do you think makes it the best platform ever?
Because it's right on the major issues. It's right on national sovereignty. It's right on jobs for Americans. It's right on being against bad trade bills, and being for jobs for Americans. And it's right on immigration, which I think is a major issue.
And CNN commentator Van Jones.
Speaking to that speech tomorrow night by Mr. Trump, will he be able to stick to script, or will he want to talk about the speech Monday? Will he want to go off? Will he want to criticize the media? And if he does it even matter here?
Listen, Donald Trump is a phenomenon. Donald Trump does not have to obey the normal rules of, forget political life, civil life, civic life. Ordinarily, someone who behaves the way that he does wouldn't be invited to your dinner party. They wouldn't be allowed to date your daughter. If they were your child, you put them in time out, or maybe get them a therapist. But this man, for whatever reason, has been allowed by the Republican voters and by the media to behave in a way that is appalling when it's not shocking and when it's not disgusting. And so he will do whatever he does. He may stick to that teleprompter and deliver a very, very stiff, bad speech. But I suspect he will want to break away from that teleprompter. He might say anything.
WWGH Radio, your place for politics. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Catch us on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue,
phone number 740-387-9050. Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website WilliamsGrassCutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Adam Media and Adam the Computer Guy are a proud supporter of WWGH Radio, offering remote and on-site technical support, network setup, and computer troubleshooting for homes and businesses. Website pctech.com.